Would you like to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a regular, monthly, tax-deductible gift? We've made it easy for you to donate using automatic withdrawal. Simply fill out and mail the automatic billing authorization form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. No more writing monthly checks or making monthly PayPal contributions. Issuesetc.org. Click donate and fill out and mail the automatic withdrawal form. Thanks for your support.
Only marriage between a man and a woman is valid and recognized in California.
We respect the court's decision, and you know, I think that you know, this is not over.
Stay straight, black, white. Marriage is a civil right.
I have decided to nominate an inspiring woman who I believe will make a great justice, Judge Sonia Sotomayor.
Mr. President, I greatly appreciate the honor you are giving me.
Of a little girl who's standing on the street corner, and a man walks up to her and says, "Little girl, have you found Jesus?" And she says, "I didn't know he was lost."
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, we'll begin this Friday afternoon on Issues Etc. the way we do every Friday afternoon with some listener email. I think we had a pile over there that Jeff is working his way through. He'll be reading it for us. I'll be responding. You can always email us here at Issues Etc. Our email address is probably one of the better ways to contact us, although it's not the best way to get a response from us. Talkback@issuesetc.org, which is why we read listener email on Fridays. Talkback@issuesetc.org. A little bit later in this first hour of this Friday program, Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or, again, the email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. The second hour of the program is full of topics and of guests. Dr. Kent Burrison joins us to talk about the Roman Catholic teachings since 1000 A.D. What has diverged from the Eastern Church? What peculiar teachings have emerged in the Roman Catholic Church in the last 1,000 years or so? We're going to talk about the Catholic celibacy issue as well, especially since a priest has, in the words of a Roman Catholic official, shamed the Roman Catholic Church by having a rather notorious affair with a nun. I think he's going to the Anglican Church where he plans to marry. At least they're calling her his fiance. David Smith will join us from the Illinois Family Institute to talk about a civil unions bill in the state of Illinois. And then in the last part of Issues Etc. today, last 20 minutes or so, we'll listen to some of our listeners' comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. That number, by the way, another good way to get a hold of us, 618-223-8384, the comment line here at Issues Etc., 618-223-8384. First, listener email.
Larry in Florence, Alabama. Todd, have you or other radio programs ever surveyed your audience to see how many listeners, like me, depend upon this programming for our theology? My church seems to have abandoned the gospel of Christ for the gospel of me. And to be honest, I have been complicit in this error. Your response, please, writes Larry in Florence, Alabama.
Well, I can't say that we've surveyed anybody. But if the casual evidence that we've run across in how many years of doing this now, Jeff, I mean, together 10 years and longer for Jeff with Don Matz at the previous host, it is commonly heard, either when I go out and speak, when I preach someplace, when we've done remotes all over the country, that Issues Etc. is lifeline. That's a term that an awful lot of people use, and that comes from both pastors and lay people, but mostly lay people who find themselves in a very similar situation to yours. And that is in a congregation, be it a Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, whatever it may be, a congregation that has departed from the central teachings of Christianity. It still calls itself Christian, but if not in principle, in practice, ceased to be explicitly Christian, preaching self-help, abandoning the historic teachings and practices of the church. And people will contact us all the time, or we come into contact with them, and they'll say it's a lifeline. It's a theological lifeline because they're not getting it at their church, which is one of the reasons that we have, like, at our website, the Find Church page, because there are people who are looking for churches. Believe it or not, if you want to use that very slippery term, seeker, my experience is that what people who are seeking bona fide, authentic Christianity are looking for is not the big box church where you can hear all about yourself and a little bit about Jesus. What they're really looking for when they're looking for the authentic, genuine article is sound, confessional, Reformation theology, something that is grounded in the truth, that is a very clear and public confession. And they're looking with all their heart. Now, they don't find it in their local congregation. Sometimes they find it even on the radio or on the internet with issues, etc. Now, I need to say this. We can't substitute for a good pastor. We can't substitute for a good church. We're just a radio program. So if you're still looking for that and you found it here with us, good. Thank you. Keep listening. But you got to find a church where you're going to get it too.
All right, here's some response to your interview with the president of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod on Wednesday. Thanks for having President Schrader on your program. I am a Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod elder in Arizona. This is Lloyd, by the way. And I really enjoy listening to your program, and I tell a lot of folks about it. I also would love to see the conservative pastors like yourselves and Pastor Rosenblatt separate from the liberals. I know that you will agree it would be great if all Lutherans were confessional and we would never compromise. Like I always tell my pastor, they can be liberal, just go to another denomination and do it there. Don't ruin our Lutheran church body. We don't need their poison. Thanks for the email, Lloyd in Arizona.
Well, it's a very good observation. Now, this is kind of a very kind and nice way of saying, why are you guys still in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod if there are so many problems in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? And that's an excellent question. Why don't you find a place where there are fewer liberals? And because there's no shortage of liberals in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, some of them secretly, some of them openly. I like the openly liberal ones because at least you can deal with them honestly. They'll tell you, hey, I'm an old-style liberal LCMS pastor. And then at least you can deal with them. It's the ones that won't tell you that up front that are more difficult to deal with. Well, first of all, I think the general principle when a church body, a confession, a denomination, whatever it may be, starts to go south is not to immediately jump ship, but to stick around and try and save not the institution, but that confession of faith, that clear teaching, preaching, practice, to save it, to restore it. That's the first order of business. And the analogy that I like to use is you would never tell a firefighter to not go back in a burning building if the family was still in there. You're not going to be able to stop him. You find him there in the midst of the smoke and the flames and the soot and the danger, and you say, get out of this building, firefighter. And he says, no, there are still people in here who need to be rescued. Well, if the time comes to leave a denomination or a confession of faith, it needs to be the very last resort, not the first resort. Like that firefighter who won't leave until there's no hope of rescuing anybody. And to leave, for faithful confessional Lutheran pastors to leave a denomination like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, would leave behind an awful lot of people in a burning building who would suffer what fate people in burning buildings generally do. I think what will probably happen, more likely than people jumping ship or leaving the building, is that they'll just get kicked out, which is kind of what I expect to happen at some point in the future, just being kicked out. And being kicked out for being faithful to the Lutheran confessions in the scriptures is a really good reason to be kicked out. It's the best reason to be kicked out.
That's awful pessimistic.
Well, I'm trying to be realistic.
I totally disagree. I think the demographics, the pastors that are 45 and below are way more faithful. We have more faithful pastors than any time in our synod's church body. And I think the future's bright. It's just how much damage can the old
future,
guard do?
The future of confessional Lutheranism is extremely bright. Whether or not that's within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is another question. The real question is, will those bright, numerous, young, energetic, and confessional pastors and lay people and congregations be able to politically outmaneuver the old guard in order to stay in the LCMS, or will they have to find a home for confessional Lutheranism someplace else? And look, our history began with a group of confessional Lutherans who could no longer find a home in the church of their birth. So I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to repeat history, but I think it's better to stay and get kicked out than to leave voluntarily and leave behind people who really need that strong confession.
This is from Pastor B in Iowa. I'm just now listening to your interview with Ron Rhodes on the creation and evolution debate. His comments about the length of the days in Genesis brought to mind the time debate of Genesis that sinful reason often has. The 6 days of creation are not 24-hour morning/evening days versus the patriarchs, whose extended years of life cannot be real 365-day years. If the days of creation are really longer, how long did Adam really live? Or if Adam's 930 years are really less than the current years, how fast did God create the world? Isn't the real question, is it really God's word? Keep up the great work you do, writes Pastor B in Iowa.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Well, you're absolutely right. The real question lurking behind all of these shim-sham theories about how long a day must be in Genesis. Look, you can lengthen the days out to a billion years if you want to. What's the point? Why do you need to? Can God speak something into existence or not? If it takes him a billion years, or if he has to accommodate himself to some sort of an evolutionary process, he's not much of a creator, is he? Any creator with his salt should be able to create a universe instantly. That God took 6 days, on purpose, by the way, not because he had to, but on purpose, is his own business. But there's no reason in the text whatsoever to question whether or not we're talking about 6 24-hour days. No reason in the text. There's all sorts of reasons in people's minds and brains and theories, but none in the text of Genesis. You're absolutely right. We'll be right back.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring Issues Etc. back, Brad Benson, K&E Justice, Heather Gehring, Don Work, Pastor Dan Iwinski, David Rowald, Don Rowald, Gary Stottmeister, Pastor Herbert Geisler, and Michael Ehlers. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out, get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar too. Go to theclcc.org.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
We're going to launch an online version of the Issues Etc. journal on June the 1st. And you can subscribe by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. Do Christians make progress in their good works? I've written an article for the new online journal titled Sheep Don't Keep Track. You'll also find an article detailing Pastor George Borghardt's journey from Catholicism to Lutheranism. Get your copy of the Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
Of a little girl standing on the street corner, and a man walks up to her and says, "Little girl, have you found Jesus?" And she says, "I didn't know he was lost."
Why not go to the nation's leading Catholic university and get their imprimatur as you sell your live and let live version of the answer to America's abortion debate?
I have a granddaughter, Emma. They taught her this wonderful little litany. Emma, why do you go to church? And she would say, to see Jesus. And what do you get when you go to church? She would go, peace. And where is that peace? And she would say, body and blood. She has a theology of worship that I wish seminarians had.
Hate crime legislation will do nothing to stop so-called hate. What it does instead is define any opposition to homosexual practice as hate.
A little bit of the soundbite we're going to be playing for you a little bit later on the program as we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio for you to vote on in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, As the Days of May Wind Down, is the Concordia Commentary on Amos, an Old Testament prophet, who is one of God's last-ditch efforts to bring the Northern Kingdom to repentance before exile. You can read more about Amos in this Concordia Commentary and what his book has to teach. It's written by Dr. Reed Lessing. You can find out more about the Concordia Commentary on Amos by going to our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Back to email.
Sarah in Naples, Florida, thanks for your segment featuring Dr. Shuda on the Ascension of Christ. I enjoyed it immensely. He is a delightful mind. The segment regarding Obama at Notre Dame was also good, especially when followed by an Ann Arbor professor. It illuminated the strength of our synodical institutions, especially compared to the willy-nilly Notre Dame-type schools, writes Sarah in Naples, Florida.
Well, it is gratifying to know that there are religious institutions of higher education that are still religious institutions of higher education, and that the two don't necessarily have to conflict with one another, being a religious institution of higher education. It's not an oxymoron. Sad to say, because of so much of the new thinking and not so new thinking in education today, it is assumed to be in direct conflict with the educational enterprise to have religious tenets. Now, the Roman Catholics knew this for years, that they could do the best quality higher education while being thoroughly Roman Catholic. Unfortunately, apparently, at least the current administration of Notre Dame has forgotten that.
Well, at the same time, I mean, now I'm going to be the cynic. Just because you can find a good professor at one of our universities doesn't mean that the entire...
So we'll just trade our cynicisms here. This
mine towards the Concordia University system, you towards the Synod at large.
Well, but this is... Being a product of the Concordia University system, as well as the Lutheran high school system and the Lutheran grade school system all the way back to the very beginning, I can tell you that the farther I went in Lutheran education until I got to seminary, the worse the theology got. It was best when I was in kindergarten and grade school, but the farther I went, the worse the Lutheran theology got. When I got to the seminary, the Lutheran education system had practically turned me into a Methodist or a Pentecostal. And then when I got to seminary, I had to learn what it meant to be a Lutheran. Again, the stuff that I'd actually been taught by my pastor and by my grade school teachers in Lutheran grade school. They had to do a bunch of remedial work on me because you're right, the theology at the secondary level in the Lutheran education system, you'll find a guy like a Richard Shuda or some bright spots in the various places in the university system. But by and large, it's grab bag theology.
Well, I'm just saying, to be consistent with the emailer's logic, you can find faithful confessional Catholics at Notre Dame.
Yes,
just
you
like
can.
You can find faithful confessional Lutherans at Concordia University.
But I'm taking the more cynical view of your, as always.
You know, the older you get, the more cynical you get. I think I'm going like the opposite. I thought I was like the negative nabob of nepotism, but you know, every day I see you, I feel
nepotism.
Better about myself.
You mean negativity, not nepotism.
Nepotism.
Nepotism is when you hire your daughter to work for you, or in this case,
oh, yeah.
Craig.
Yeah. That's
this
true.
Is
that's
negativity.
But what's parturition?
That's
that?
The process of giving birth.
I was just testing you.
Yeah. I remember. Once I'm told, I remember.
I don't.
But look, it's not that I grow more cynical. It's just that my eyes, I become less and less willing to believe the myth of LCMS exceptionalism. In fact, I'm writing something about that right now, the myth of LCMS exceptionalism. I become less and less willing to believe it and just more willing to look at it honestly and say, look, we're just another denomination. We're just another run-of-the-mill denomination with people in it trying to be faithful and others doing their own thing.
Dave, Virginia, I've been busily catching up on weeks and weeks of Issues Etc. programs. How nice to have a chance to do some of my on-demand listening. Regarding the No Pizza on Fridays ruling, Todd, don't worry. I don't think it's the pizza. I think it's your Friday shows. Maybe you should hire a consultant to investigate whether listening to your show induces sleeping.
Well, that's good. Kidding. I mean, yes, I know he's kidding. First of all, we've gone this far without hiring a consultant. Our experience in the past with consultants is they tend to cost a lot, promise you everything, and deliver nothing. Leave you cheap, leave you much, much less able to do what you wanted to do in the first place because you spent all your money on the consultant. I mean, I don't know, in our previous incarnation with LCMS Inc., how much would you guess in the 15 years of Issues Etc., directly or indirectly related to the enterprise of Issues Etc., was wasted on consultants?
I'll never forget the one guy, it was a Jewish guy, came in. The first time you met Todd, he's like, Todd, I'm going to make you a star. I'm going to make you a star.
Boy, he was talking about your name in lights. It was like some guy getting ready to put me out on vaudeville. Yeah. We'll have you in Hoboken, in Jersey. You'll be everywhere, my son. Oh, my goodness. It was like dealing with the Professor Hill and the Music Man. I mean, it was that much of a sham. And I think the guy cost, not us personally, it was probably about 60 grand for a couple meetings and nothing came up.
But wasn't he talking? He's changing your dress attire. He said, you had to change your look. I think you like said something about your hair. And
yeah, at the time I was wearing a crew cut, and he's like, we're going to have to give you a younger look. And
it's like, it's radio, dude.
Unbelievable.
It's radio. But yeah, I'll never forget that. I'm going to make you a star.
And he was only.
Look at you now.
I know. He was only the first, for at least in my experience, of a whole line of consultants. You'd had experience with ones even before that that were even worse.
Yeah.
But you know, when you have an institution that's run by you know, basically parish pastors who've been thrown into a corporate environment, it's just like, well, what are we going to do? Let's hire a consultant. How much it's going to cost us half our budget? Well, but we don't know what to do.
The last consultant we worked with was a great guy, nice Baptist chap.
Nicest guy. He actually did something. He didn't do anything that he was hired to do, but he did do something. So, yeah.
All right, back to Dave from West Virginia's email. I'd like to thank you for your recent series on the sacraments. Before becoming a Lutheran, I was looking for something that seemed sturdy about ministry. The Christian walk simply didn't appear to be truly solid, though when I read the Bible, I would see that it should be. Seeing the sacraments as symbolic of some greater invisible and spiritual reality stuck me as platonic and subjective. Understanding the sacraments as the true sacraments, physical realities in which God genuinely works according to his purpose, has shown me a new level of solidity to the Christian faith. Now I see more than I did before. Following Jesus is a lively, visceral faith. There is something very real about a sacramental view of the Christian walk, writes Dave from West Virginia.
And that's because it is the biblical view of the Christian walk, of the Christian life. The Christian life is a sacramental life. And I remember the first time I heard that from a Lutheran pastor. I remember scratching my head. These were in the days of my quasi-Methodism as a result of years and years in the Lutheran school system, at least the latter years of it, and thinking, what does he mean, sacramental life? What does that mean? I had no idea what he meant. Then I began to read the Lutheran confessions, and over again, it was the sacraments that came out as the principal parts of the Christian's life. And I realized, slowly but surely, what he meant, that the shape of the Christian life is the shape of the sacraments that Christ has given the Christian to live by. The word of absolution, the water of baptism, the bread and wine, body and blood of the Lord's Supper. This is the shape of the Christian life. And Christians who think that their life resides someplace else than in what Christ gives in those sacraments are looking for life in all the wrong places, and they're not going to find life. They're going to find busyness. They're going to find themselves. Worse yet, they won't find Christ.
The rest of the emails dealing with torture and
more torture email?
Yeah, it never ends. We got to get the field marshal on, John Mark Montgomery, and put this baby to rest. You know, whenever it's just like an endless, and people keep sending things like, just get Montgomery on.
Yeah.
close the case. And here's Barbara in Pennsylvania. I get to listen late, but I wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Barbara from Pennsylvania writes, as far as Over the Hill goes, I'm rolling down the other side at 58. With all the pain accumulated in life, I'm looking forward to the resurrection. I'm sure you agree. But I'm thankful for your birth and all the work you and Jeff do for the church. You are a cool drink in a pietistic desert. Ooh, that's good. Hey. That's a liner for you. I appreciate your responses to the torture emails. Doesn't it make you sick when you get a strong sense of Paul's dilemma in Romans 7? We want to be so right, but not in this life. This life and we ourselves are just a mess. Again, I can't wait for the resurrection. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Barbara in Pennsylvania.
And I can't say it any better than that. Barbara, thank you very much, and thanks for your happy well wishes on belated on my birthday, although I'm sure the email came in right on time. It takes us a while to get it read on the air. Thanks to everybody who emails us. You can always email us. We try to respond to it as much of it as we can on the air. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Coming up after the break, we're going to be perusing the blogs. Jeff will have his blog pick of the week, and I will have mine. And then it's time to play Soundbite of the Week. It's Friday afternoon, May the 29th, here on Issues Etc.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Phoenix, Arizona police have made 4 arrests in what appears to be a widening circle or network of euthanasia activists. This follows 4 others who were arrested in Georgia earlier this year for being part of the Final Exit Network. They actually helped kill people. Those arrested in Phoenix include a retired professor. They're being charged with murder for helping to kill a 58-year-old woman who was seriously mentally ill and incapable of making this kind of decision. It appears they helped her inhale helium and then staged the death scene to make sure it looked like she died in her sleep. This shows how quickly the slippery slope of euthanasia is expanding in America. Those who are elderly or vulnerable need our protection and care so they don't fall victim to these predators.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. John Carr, Theodore Groth, Gene Mann, Mr. and Mrs. Mark Bronson, Robert Ryder, Kevin Wendorf, Darren Bachman, John Reynolds, Stephanie Bomsch, and Rose Wenzel. Thanks for your support.